get in that space where you can understand that the risen Lord being with us each and every day is something truly to celebrate. Let us turn to our announcements this morning. I'm not going to go through them all, but I'll go through a couple of them with you that need to bring to your attention. Trustees meeting Tuesday. Make sure if you're part of trustees to be a part of that. Today is the last day for the carnations for Mother's Day. Make sure you take care of that so that you are going to have those for next week. We also want to remind those that were part of the Shawnee mentoring program, but we're going to have a meeting on Tuesday at 11. And anybody who may be interested in the mentoring of our elementary students next year, we invite you to come out as well so that we can just talk about what the year was like, what we learned from it, what we might be able to do next year, what, you know, anything that might come to mind. So we would invite you, if you have any interest in being a mentor for one of the elementary students, that you come on Tuesday and we can talk about that. Also, we have the life screening tomorrow, and so that is something that if you want to be a part of that, there's a way to sign up for that, and so take a look at that. And finally, we just put out a sign up for the Church Hawaiian Meal. Sandy Pramer's brother-in-law is going to be bringing this wonderful meal to us, and it's going to be on June 28th, and we just asked that if you want to experience the food from Hawaii, that this would be a great opportunity, and it's kind of a gift that he wants to give to us. So it's one of those things where he wants to bring the church together, and he's going to provide that meal for us to be sitting with each other and having a great time. So there's a sign-up sheet out in the narthex for you to say you want to be a part of it. With that, let us turn our hearts to the Lord and celebrate with him today.
Thank you so much. It's beautiful to hear those bells this morning. Would you please stand and join me in the call to worship? Rejoice in the Lord.
Praise God.
Worthy is the Lamb of our praise. Rejoice in the Lord. And now join us in singing the opening hymn, I Come With Joy. It's number 617 in your hymnals and on the screen. And it's verses 1 through 3 this morning. You may be seated. And join me in the opening prayer. God of love, we bring our very selves to worship, our triumphs, our failures, our vulnerabilities, our greatest joys, and our deepest sorrows. In this time set apart, may we hear the voice of Jesus urging us to feed and be fed, to love and be loved. Amen. Now I invite the children to come and join me.
Come on down. Gotta hold it down.
On. There we go. All right. Good morning. How are you guys? All right. Well, I didn't remember to bring my phone over here, so I'm going to have to try to say these words without it, because I was going to use it to help me cheat. So if I said te amo to you, do you know what I'm saying? Nope. It is Spanish. You are correct. How about je t'aime? Have you ever heard that? Do you know what language that one is? Je t'aime. Not German. It's French. Yep. How about ti amo? Similar to the te amo I said before, but this is ti amo. This one is Italian, and here it is in Portuguese. Uche amo. Uche amo.
Great job.
Like that. Yeah, that, I did pretty good. I even tried to write my little notes for me, but I still screwed it up. How about Valente? That's Croatian. And do you know what this is? Sign language. Do you know what it says? I love you. That's what all of these were saying, is I love you in different languages. The passage we're going to hear this morning, Jesus talks to his disciples, and he specifically asks Peter, do you love me? And Peter always answers, yes, Jesus, you know I love you. But each time he says it, Jesus replies by saying, feed my sheep. And another time he says, take care of my sheep. Any idea why he would ask Peter if he loves them, and then after Peter says, I love you, Lord, that Jesus would say, feed my sheep? What do you think he's saying? Feed the people? Especially the poor, okay? So he's basically saying, if you love me, you say you love me, now I want you to prove it by doing something for others. Does that make sense? So not only do we just say I love you, because saying I love you is can be pretty easy sometimes, to certain people especially. But to actually show them your love through your actions. That's what Jesus is talking about in this passage this morning. So, remember some of these, ti amo, te amo, je t'aime. Those all say I love you. But the greatest way we can show love is by doing some wonderful things for others. Right? All right, let's say a little prayer. Father God, thank you for your love and for how you show your love to us through Jesus Christ. May we show our love for you and for Jesus Christ by loving others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Our prayer hymn is like the murmur of the dove song, number 544. As we said in our call to worship this morning, opening prayer, we come to worship with our triumphs, our failures, our vulnerabilities, and our greatest joys and deepest sorrows. So let us take all these things into consideration as we go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we join you today. We have confessed that we bring ourselves to you. Everything, all of us, our whole being, we set before you, O God, each and every moment. But especially now, as we gather and witness to one another, showing that we are here to worship you. We don't just say we're going to worship, we're coming to worship. So, Lord, we ask that you meet us here, that if we are truly in a time of celebration, that we are able to celebrate with you, invite you into our moment, give you glory as we shout out with joy. And, Lord, some of us may be coming here this morning feeling just a little bit hesitant, a little bit vulnerable, knowing how we have been this week. Maybe we haven't done things that we normally would have done when we feel a little ashamed about those things. But Lord, we invite you into our lives in that space. We know you love us. And we've just talked about what love is. So we know that you are caring for us. We know that you want to restore us, to reconcile us because of your love. So draw us in, O God, in our time of vulnerability. And Lord, there are others of us who are grieving, who are bringing the depths of our souls before you. Our emotions are still raw for the ones that we are missing. But Lord, in your mercy, in your grace, you comfort us. But only if we open ourselves to you and allow ourselves to be comforted. We want to be strong. But Lord, if we let go of our strength and lean on your strength, we will truly sense a renewed strength. So help us, Lord, to be that person who is able to put ourselves in your care. Lord, we want to experience your joy. We want to walk in joy in everything that we experience because we know that You are in the midst of it. Give us encouragement today. Wrap Your arms around us so that we can truly walk with confidence to face the day, whatever the day is for us. And now as we share our confidence in You with one voice, we share the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And friends, may we come together with a response of love in our way of giving back just a portion of what we've been given. I just want to note that today is also one of the special Sundays for the United Methodist Church. You may have gotten a card on your way. American Sunday. And truly about recognizing that the Native Americans didn't always have the best response from us coming here. And by us giving back and understanding and creating ministries within the United Methodist Church to minister to the Native American people, we stand alongside them. So if you want to give today towards that ministry, just make sure there's a note on your check or on the envelope that says it is for Native American Sundry. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Join together in the prayer of dedication. Risen Lord, receive these gifts from our hands this day, for You rescue us from ourselves and free us to love others as You have loved us. After our long slumber and ignorance and fear, we offer You our gratitude for the joy that comes in the morning. Accept this offering as a sign of our commitment to follow You and participate in Your ministry to all the world. Amen. Please remain standing for the gospel reading.
The gospel reading comes from John 21, 1 through 19. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the son of Zebedee's, and the two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bells. And as I understand, this was the end of the season for the Bells, so let's give them a better round of applause. We do appreciate your ministry to us. Can you recall a time in your life when you were so focused on a goal that upon reaching it, you didn't know how to move forward? Think about that. For me, I think back to my time in seminary. I think I shared before that it took me 7 years to graduate. During that time, it took everything in me to finish my degree. While I was still working as a software engineer, helping lead multiple ministries at our local church, raising 2 kids through middle and high school, and making sure my wife still knew that I loved her. That time of my life was so rich and full, even if it was crazy busy and filled with anxiety. After I graduated, I waited 2 years to take my first church so my daughter could graduate from high school before we moved. So while I waited, I no longer had the workload of seminary classes or the motivation of reaching my goal of getting my Master of Divinity. And I had time before transitioning from engineer to full-time pastor. I didn't know what to do with myself. I was lost. I didn't know the steps to take in that moment. Ever since I decided to answer my call to be a pastor, I had in mind the steps to take. The United Methodist Church even gave me a checklist of all I had to accomplish. But here I was in between the steps of seminary and following the call I received from the Lord to be a pastor. This is how I think the disciples of Jesus felt when Jesus left them after He first appeared to them behind the closed doors and told them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." They had been so focused on following Jesus from village to village and were prepared to go with Him to the throne of the Israelite nation. But after Jesus was crucified, buried, and now risen, they didn't know what to do. Following the risen Jesus would be different. They were lost. And in their wondering what was next, at least some of them returned to Galilee and were in many ways going through the motions of life as they knew it before Jesus ever crossed their path. It was there in Galilee that our passage for today tells us Jesus appeared again to the disciples. Jesus met them where they were to re-engage them in His ministry to all the world. How might this encounter that Jesus had with His first disciples also re-engage us in His ministry? I see a few important realities that come to light here that can guide our steps forward. So what steps put us on the path to following the risen Lord? Now, the advantage we have over the disciples that walked with Jesus from Galilee to Jerusalem is that our life with Jesus has always been with the risen Lord. We don't have the burden of comparison of before and after the empty tomb. However, to follow Jesus then or now, there are things in common. So let's join Jesus and the disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee to find out more. After Peter and a few other disciples went fishing overnight and caught nothing, they returned to the shore and noticed a man standing there, not knowing it was Jesus. John tells the story in his gospel writing. Jesus, he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now there are a couple of things here that speak to my heart. First, to follow the risen Lord, we must take the step of knowing Jesus as Lord. One of the disciples yelled out, "It is the Lord." And immediately Peter jumps ship to get to shore where his Lord is. Later in the story in verse 12, when they are gathered to eat some fish and bread, we read, "They knew it was the Lord." In their heart, they knew Jesus as Lord. In our heart, we must know Jesus as Lord. In my mind, this is a big step for anyone, and it is even bigger to me than believing Jesus saves us from our sin. You see, our journey with Jesus may begin with our confession of faith that Jesus is our Savior and that salvation is a gift from God, but our journey with Jesus doesn't stop with our confession of faith in Him. See, we continue with the step of knowing Jesus as Lord of our life. Another word for Lord is Master. Knowing Jesus as Lord declares that we serve Him. He is our Master. Now, the language is hard for us as we distance ourselves from it with the history of slavery in the world. However, when it comes to Jesus, God in the flesh, the risen Lord, if we are truly going to follow Him, we need to embrace Jesus as Master and ourselves as servant. We surrender being master and Lord of our life and willingly give that role to Jesus. Second, to follow the risen Lord, we must trust in Jesus' authority. If we are going to know Jesus as Lord, the next logical step is to trust Him and to respond to His authority from a place of unabashed confidence. When I read the part about the disciples' response to Jesus telling them to cast their nets on the right side of the boat after a night of not catching any fish, I am struck by the disciples immediately doing what he asked, not knowing who he was. No questions asked. No further comments about their unsuccessful night. No refusal to follow his request. Why did they cast the net? I don't really know for sure. But it seems to me that when Jesus speaks into anyone's life, knowing it is him or not, you can sense what is spoken should be followed. Like the disciples, it may take a minute for us to recognize it is Jesus the one guiding us, but the authority of the message can't be denied. Our challenge is to learn to trust the message Jesus is speaking into us and responding to the risen Lord with boldness. We grow in our confidence as we surrender to Jesus' lordship and expect Him to lead us in the direction that He is going. See, we learn over time to hear His voice and know that it is Jesus behind the message. He will lead us in the shaping of our lives into His likeness, as well as lead us in the path to fulfilling His mission and ministry through us by His authority. We just have to take these steps with Him. That leads us to how we mature in our faith and confidence and knowing Jesus as Lord and trusting His authority. See, there's a hint here in our passage after Jesus asked the disciples to bring some of the fish they caught to Him. John described what happened like this. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask Him, "Who are you?" Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. Jesus invited His disciples to sit with Him so He could feed them. And not just with bread and fish. Throughout the Gospels and in the epistles of His disciples, we can see Jesus sat around the table with folks, sharing with them so much more than the food on the table. He gave them spiritual food that changed their way of thinking and living. To follow the risen Lord, we must have communion with the Lord. And when I say communion, I don't just mean the sacrament of Holy Communion, which is beautiful, a beautiful gift of grace we should enjoy together. But we need to learn to truly have a life of communion with Jesus. A definition of communion that I like is this: communion, a close relationship with someone in which feelings and thoughts are exchanged. This is what we should be having with the risen Lord. This kind of relationship impacts our minds and our hearts. It affects the way of our thinking and our motivations for living. We can commune with Jesus quietly on our own, and we should regularly. But if we follow the way of the disciples in the Gospels, we should be doing this together. So much spiritual food can be enjoyed when followers of Jesus meet for a meal with Jesus and have conversation about where Jesus is leading us personally and as the body of Christ. Now, you may or may not know, here at Faith Community, we have a few small groups that we call meet and eat groups that get together. And the feedback that I have gotten is that they love meeting. They meet without an agenda, but they gather around the table and share their lives. The more they meet, the more comfortable they will be sharing what Jesus is doing in their lives. I know this because of my own experience with groups like these. More groups can be started. Just let me know if you're interested, and we'll try to put some people together. Because having communion with one another in the Lord will help keep our steps on the path to following the risen Lord. And then after Jesus and the disciples finished their meal together, Jesus pulled Peter aside to reconcile with him after Peter's denial of Jesus three times leading up to Jesus' crucifixion, and to re-engage Peter with his mission. Remember, Jesus previously named Peter as the rock on which the church would be built. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And then the third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Notice in Peter's response that he embraces the three things we have already talked about. He recognized Jesus as Lord. He trusted Jesus' authority, confessing that Jesus knew all things. And he was having communion with Jesus, expressing his thoughts and feelings. But there was one more step to fully engage Peter and us in mission with the Lord. To follow the risen Lord, we must participate in the mission to make disciples. Jesus makes it clear that our love for Him isn't fully expressed by saying that we love Him. Our love for Jesus is shown when we follow Him into the mission field to share Jesus with the world and continue to help along and work along with the work of discipleship with those who come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. Peter may have been the foundation of the church, but Jesus called us all to go and make disciples. We are in this work together. My call and role may be different from yours, but we each have a place in the mission and ministry of Jesus. Jesus is alive and active in ministry and is calling out to us, "Friends, haven't you any fish? Cast your net, and I will tell you where to go. And you will find some. Come, follow me." The ones who follow the risen Lord follow Him in His ministry to all the world. So friends, Jesus is risen. Jesus is with us through the Holy Spirit. The path to follow the risen Lord is in front of us. Let's take steps to stay engaged with Jesus' leading by knowing Jesus as Lord of our life, trusting His authority to guide us and shape us, having real communion with Him and each other, to nurture our faith and participating in the mission to make disciples of Jesus, as we each are called to do, as an expression of our love for Him. So let's refocus our lives and re-engage with the risen Lord, who simply calls to us saying, "Follow me." Amen. Imagine yourself on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. You've just come up and have nothing. But the Lord has already prepared a table for you. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, we have come as sinners, and the Lord has come to put Himself in place of us. And He calls us to come. Come to Him first as Savior, but then as Lord of our life. So when we look back on our lives and on the lives of those that were in the Scriptures, think back on how God pursues us and be grateful. That is what we come first around this table and we confess that we are sinners, and then we come around the table and say how grateful we are of what Jesus has done for us. And we see it as a story coming to life throughout the Scriptures. Through a small group of people and then a nation and then to all the world through Jesus Christ. And in the midst of that, we found our way. Somehow the Lord's grace drew us in enough to say, "Yes, we see you. We hear you. Thank you, oh God, for being there for me. For drawing me in to know you as Savior and Lord of my life." And so as Jesus communes with us, He comes around a table. It could be any table, but this table of the sacred sacrament of Holy Communion, He says, as He did with those on the night that He was betrayed, giving thanks and breaking the bread, that "This is my body which is given for you. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, He took the cup. He said, "This is my blood that's been poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. It's a new covenant. Accept this covenant. Be a part of this covenant with me. To know that you have life and life eternal." And so in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice. In union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim this mystery of faith together, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by His blood. And then by your Spirit, make us one with Christ. One with each other and one in ministry to all the world. Until Christ comes in final victory as we feast at His heavenly banquet. Because it is through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Friends, our table is set. We will be receiving the elements in the pews. When you receive each element, hold on to it, and then we'll take each one together as an expression of our unity in the Lord. Suzanne? This is the body of Christ which has been broken and given to you. Take. This is the blood of Christ, a new covenant poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink. Let us pray. Gracious and beautiful God, we just thank you for your presence. The presence of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we are able to experience by your grace through this meal. May we open ourselves to his presence so that we can truly experience a communion with him that will draw us not only closer to him, but also draw us out into the world. Amen.
And now would you stand for our closing hymn, Jesus Shall Reign. That's number 157. And verses 1, 2, and 4.
Each and every day. If we trust in the Lord and walk with him, we will walk in a way that will amaze the world around us. Let us go into that world as children of God and as those who believe in Jesus Christ. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.